I always love that banjo introduction. Larry's brother is really good on the strings. Here's a guy who's really great in your lawn and garden. Larry himself, Larry Glass, right here on the Green Country Gardener Program. How you doing, Larry?
Oh, just fine. You know, there's something earthy and very genuine about banjo music.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, you can play a lot of bluegrass on it.
Golly.
How are we doing in the lawn and garden today? I mean, we've been a little bit north of hot.
Yes, I know.
You've been out in it.
Yesterday I was hauling around retaining wall stones and gravel and dirt and all kinds of stuff yesterday. What a busy day.
Woo, yeah.
Getting those projects completed.
Super dupe, man.
So anyway, time goes on. We got started anew it on Tuesday, so here we go again.
Yeah, you got to get one day off anyway, maybe two.
Well, at least, yeah. So, I am taking a little bit of a holiday this weekend. So.
Well, good. So, you deserve it. You work very hard.
Already been up in the garden this morning before the sunrise. Working in the garden, yes.
What were you doing?
Replenishing the hummingbird feeders.
Oh, yeah.
And they're replenishing the waterfalls as they evaporate and pulling a few weeds. And it was a little dark. I hope it didn't pull up something good.
that would not be good. All right.
But anyway, golly, at the nursery, we got all kinds of new stuff just on the edge of coming in. Gary and I were talking about the mums. We'll be in shortly. We'll have a great selection of mums. They're already booked and ordered and ready to go. And believe it or not, pansies will be here shortly.
They will.
Also, at this point in time, we have plenty of five-star grass seed available.
Good. And people were wondering, okay, why do I need grass seed in September?
Well, in September traditionally is the time to replenish your fescue grass.
It is.
It's been a kind of a trying summer.
A bit, yeah.
On fescue, except for some places where they, for some odd reason, some areas just does very well under neglect.
Some people have all the luck, right?
But we've had a situation with a whole lot of rain in the spring and a lot of conjoined cloudy weather.
Cool. Yeah.
And it caused some phytophthora issues with the fescue grass, number one. And number two, somebody just turned off the faucet.
And it got really hot.
And it got really, really hot. It's something that fescue doesn't like. So it's been kind of a trying year for fescue grass. Mm-hmm. And, golly, I was at somebody's house yesterday. How can I turn this into grass? And, you know, the ground's like concrete. So, you might turn it into an airport first, maybe.
It'll work.
But you really need to assess your soil.
Yeah.
And see how difficult it is to get a shovel in it.
Mm.
And that's some kind of indicator as to what you might want to do prior to establishing some fescue seed. It's some degree of soil prep.
Yeah.
It involves a little bit more than tilling it up. Mm-hmm. You really need to add amendments to the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Not in order to begin to have the soil loose, but to maintain that loose structure over time. So our primary ingredient we use for that is compost.
There you go.
So compost works rather well. We have packaged compost. Comes in a 2-cubic-foot bag, and you just put about 3 inches on your surface area and till it into the soil about 8 inches. It'll cost you about 20 pounds of sweat right now.
Right now, I'm feeling it, man.
20 pounds of sweat and a couple of gallons of gasoline.
You'll get her done, but boy, you'll feel it.
Yeah. But anyway, you do want to do some degree of soil prep. If your soil is already loose, then no problem. You just kind of roughen it up a little bit on the surface, and you're fine on there. But those roots have to get down into the soil. They have to be enticed to get deep in the soil. Mm-hmm. And you really, really need deep roots on your fescue grass for it to really tolerate the heat come next year. This is Oklahoma. It gets hot.
It does.
Face it already.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's kind of what's going on there. Fescue grass is a little more expensive this year. It got kind of droughty in Oregon where they grow it. So it's a little pricey. So do your calculations. Know your square footage so you know exactly how much fescue seed to get.
Do the math, and the rest is easy.
Yeah, if you got a yard that's 20 by 30 feet, don't buy a 50-pound bag. That's,
no.
You probably need, it's just a 5-pound bag, really. Yeah. So anyway, we have formulas, a list of rates.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got an idea how much surface area you have, we've got a chart that shows for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,000 square feet, how many pounds of grass seed you need. So it's getting time for that. Also, for your pansies and everything else, if you do want to do that, you want this been a trying summer. With all the rain, we had a lot of soil compaction, then it got really dry. So prior to you planting your new perennial, such as the mums, mm-hmm. and some annuals, such as the pansies, make sure your soil, once again, is loose.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to get the pansies in the ground as soon as possible so they can get a good root system developed
mm-hmm.
prior to it being cold. Because once the soil temperature gets to be a certain point, the root system really doesn't grow that much.
Mm.
And they have somewhat of a difficult time tolerating our weather extremes,
yeah.
be it cold, be it 11 degrees below zero for like 24 days, whatever we had here out in Maryland. It was just cold.
Yeah, it was. It was miserable.
So anyway, you want to make sure that your plants are pretty well established
yeah.
prior to it getting cold so they can tolerate the cold weather coming on. And that holds true for a lot of other things, too. Your shrubs, for instance. It's been a very trying year for a lot of shrubs, especially crepe myrtles. It was really, really cold this last winter. And it set them back pretty far. And there was some damage to the root system of the crepe myrtles. So at this point in time, as dry as it is, you might want to go ahead and water them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying just turn it into a Noah's Ark flood, but just keep them moderately moist. And I do think that somewhere here in the radio station has established rain as a possibility this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah, about 30% all the way up to 70% from this afternoon on, and then rain likely tonight.
How generous of you.
Well, we try, Larry.
Guys are so tight with this water. Come on.
Well, anyway. You know, water's funny.
So anyway, so that's going to help them out a little bit, too.
Wow.
And I get a lot of questions on crepe myrtles. They've grown out. They've turned into a bush again. How do I turn them back into a tree?
Good question. I'm having the same problem in my backyard.
Exactly. You got this bushy crepe myrtle, and I've got one in my front yard, a big old bush. It's really nice.
Oh, yeah, for right
now. Lots of color. You can actually see the blooms. They're not 12 feet in the air.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad thing.
No.
So I might just go ahead and maintain it as a shrub form rather than try to get a tree form out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, number one, it takes up a lot of space.
Yeah, it does.
And number two, the flowers are at eye level.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of thinking involved with that, too.
Yeah, got
and,
that going
and
for
thirdly,
you.
If we do have another severe winter, you don't have such a dramatic change in the landscape by the loss of all that top growth.
Really?
So a couple schools of thought on that. Now, what I mentioned earlier about watering things uh-huh. prior to it, the fall and winter coming in, mm-hmm. the crepe myrtle isn't going to grow very much anymore. So you want to make sure that it's not overly watered, but watered enough to where okay. it'll survive, so it's not wilting.
Mm-hmm.
And going into the winter, you want to make sure to give it some mulch. In light of what happened last year and what happened 8 years ago,
uh-huh.
The likelihood of it happening this year again is remote
mm-hmm.
if you do the mathematic statistics things.
Mm-hmm.
But Mother Nature has nothing to do with statistics or mathematics.
She doesn't care.
Just does whatever it wants to.
She's temperamental.
So I guess the old adage, be prepared,
uh-huh.
Is very necessary. So, and if you mulch them in real well and give them a significant amount of water prior to it getting really cold,
mm-hmm.
chances are your crepe myrtles will survive unscathed mm-hmm. through a cold spell.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So, crepe myrtles, it is September, and it's a little bit late for them to initiate blooms. However, if it has bloomed and you got all these seed heads on there, you might want to cut off those seed heads. And there's a slight chance, if we do have some cooler weather, maybe some rain coming on. You guys are so stingy with the water. But anyway, if we do have some rain come on, chances are they might even put on some additional blooms for the fall. So the days are still long enough and the nights are short enough to where they can produce some blooms, but not very much at this point.
Got about 3 or 4 weeks of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be over enthusiastic about fertilizing them at this point as well. Mm-hmm. You don't want a lot of tender growth on them. It's time to kind of harden them off a little bit and get them ready for the winter and keep them watered, just keep them kind of happy. And then when the spring comes around, it's time to
kaboom.
Fertilize! Yes, fertilize them and get them going. Crepe myrtles also like a slightly lower soil pH
mm-hmm.
than a lot of than what we might think.
Mm-hmm.
They tolerate our high pH, so if your crepe myrtle isn't blooming very well, perhaps your pH is a little bit on the high side.
Work your dirt.
Yeah, and we do have an acidifying fertilizer the label on which does have a crepe myrtle illustrated. Mm-hmm. So it does indicate that.
Got the picture right there.
You bet. I got a picture. So you might want to check out your soil pH around your crepe myrtles and keep it at about 6.5 perhaps, where it really bloom real nicely. So anyway, that's what's going on that. We have also fall colored trees coming in. We do have some fall colored trees at this point, the maples and whatnot. And as soon as the weather cools down a little bit, people will be enthusiastic about planting trees in the landscape. And we have some hybrid maples that do exhibit some reliable degree of fall color. Unless it's just glaringly hot until the end and they won't do anything.
Now, for the uninitiated, when we get the fall color, we get that as a result not necessarily from heat, but from cold, correct?
It's the primary stimulus is the length of day.
Yeah.
Secondarily, the cooler the weather at night in the fall, the more likely the sugars are to remain in the leaves, and the cyanothins will change the color of the chlorophyll and do all that kind of stuff.
There you go. So it's a process, but it looks pretty.
It's really complicated, and all things have to fall in place for that to work real well.
Yeah.
So another thing is I see a lot of people in their yards. They're not watering their yards, including myself.
Oh, no, I haven't either. They didn't bother.
I'm going to waste my retirement benefits on the water.
But it's Oklahoma after all.
Or Bermuda grass. It'll come back.
It'll come back.
So I have been, however, irrigating the trees.
Yeah.
I have some maple trees. And when you have a soil that are about as thick as a mouse pad on your front yard, you do need to water them supplementally. And they're defoliating somewhat too, as in a response to the dryness. So I put a sprinkler on there with a little timer, and it goes every day to get the moisture levels up,
keep going.
So that that will help it along too, and it'll encourage the fall color as well if it's really happy and healthy right now.
Good.
So watch the trees in your front yard. If they are defoliating, you probably want to go ahead and apply some supplemental water to them. If a tree is under stress, they are susceptible to a lot of things. Borers is one thing. I see a lot of borer damage on some trees, and typically the borer damage is occurring on trees that are under some degree of stress. So you want to make sure that they're happy and healthy. Not only is it expensive to take the tree out, but it's expensive to have a new one put in.
Yeah.
And
take care of what you have.
In that case, putting the water on there is money wise is a pretty much a good investment.
Indeed, it is. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to have more of our Green Country Gardener program coming up. Of course, your phone calls are always welcome at 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. If you call United Reynolds Strategic Sales Team, you may not get someone directly with Bartlesville, but you'll get someone from the Tulsa Metro. We all pull out the same inventory. The reason we do that is so that we can give each customer the amount of time that they need. We don't want to rush anyone, and that's why we have a Strategic Sales Team call center. We are local and customer-focused. You can give us a call at United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
It's Green Thunder's Green Greenhouse's sizzling summer sale. Take 50% off at the register on roses, herbs, and 4.5 and 4-inch pots of annuals. Take 30% off all perennials, astables, crepe myrtles, hardy ferns, hostas, Japanese maple trees, butterfly bushes, ceramic pots, and fountains. The sales are hot, and you'll save some cool cash during the Green Thumb's sizzling summer sale. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house, and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Everyone is talking about healthcare these days. America spends twice that of other developed countries on our healthcare system, yet our health ranks near the bottom. primary care can help fix the problem. To learn more about the benefits of primary care, visit www.healthisprimary.org. This message is brought to you by America's Family Physicians.
Yeah, baby. It is 824, 75 degrees, sunshine, a little bit of rain up in Kansas. They're getting all the rain today, Larry. This is the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Tom Davis. He's Larry Glass. And your phone calls, welcome at 1-800-749-5936. My son is coming into town from Kansas City, and yes, he's running into all kinds of rain that we haven't received yet. So,
well, tell him to tie a big old rope around that cloud and bring it down here.
Larry, we could use it.
Actually, we got the... A real heavy downpour at the nursery.
You did?
Yeah, yesterday.
We got a little bit.
30 seconds.
Yeah, that's what ours was about 30 seconds.
We were loading a truckload of dirt, and it put a nice little muddy crust on the surface.
That was it.
And then when we got to the job site, which is just a mile away, and nothing. But we did get a little bit of rain where we were, and it was just enough to put a stippled pattern on the street and the driveway. And I told my guy, look at this pattern on there. Look at the, there is no pattern. It's completely spontaneous, yet it's very uniform.
Uh-huh.
I got these strange looks. This is the kind of stuff we talked about in college. You know,
oh, well, yeah, I know. Anyway, I know what you're talking about. I know exactly where you're going.
Yeah, so. and then when it dried up, actually the patterns turn into groupings of different things. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting how nature works. But anyway, that was kind of fun, getting a little bit of rain just to settle the dust for 10 minutes. Cool it down just to make it hot afterwards. Yeah. Thank you.
Cooled it down 3 degrees just to make it 5 degrees hotter afterwards. Yeah, that was grand. You could hear the street sizzle. So,
yeah. We had, in the last few weeks, we had a big problem with army worms, and I really think they've kind of run their course.
Yeah.
Army worms, they're pretty easy to control. There are several remedies out there, anything from soapy water to Captain Jack's dead bug. To
there are people that buy that and buy the gross. You know that, don't you? Just because they want people to see that in their garage.
Yeah. it's an organic stuff. It's Pinazat. It's very, very easy to use and very safe. But you do want to be careful what caterpillars you're controlling, too.
Yeah.
The monarchs are doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an incubator at the nursery where we grow monarch butterflies.
It's really nice.
We've released quite a few of them out there. So anyway, I think the army worms have sort of run their course.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
So cool. Another thing with the lawn?
They withdrew too, huh?
It is the absolute positive last time to put nitrogen application on your Bermuda grass.
Oh, okay.
We need to get the stolons on the Bermuda grass toughened up for the winter.
Yeah.
And in about, 2 weeks or so, is an application of phosphorus, like 10-20-10, something like that, would work well to get it ready for the winter. Don't put anything down after it goes dormant. You're just wasting your money. So you want to do it kind of right about now. We got rain coming, so, of course, the minute you put your fertilizer down, it won't rain.
It won't rain.
So anyway, you want to go ahead and probably get that integrated into the ground. So as the Bermuda grass recovers from the drought, it will be a bit more hardened off, ready for the winter.
There you go.
So no heavy nitrogen at this point.
Yeah.
You could put down trace elements if the yard has been kind of yellow and just not lack of vigor. That might help it out, too. Mm-hmm. And if it's just not doing well, you might check your soil pH as well and see if it's a little bit off. Bermuda grass is highly tolerant of a wide variety of conditions. Mm-hmm. It can't really go highly acidic, and it will tolerate to some point a high alkaline soil, but it'd be kind of yellowy in color. So if your grass isn't healthy, it should do pretty much everywhere here in Bartlesville. I mean, it grows on the side of the road. I don't care at all. It could be that your chemistry just isn't right. Now, when they build a house and the developers go in, they do a lot of disruptions of the natural soil types and whatnot, and it can cause some problems. Bringing up some shale and clay and limestone into the soil, it can change the soil structure and chemistry, actually. And sometimes they bring up some sandstone, broken up sandstone from down below, and to get it all churned up in there, it can lower the pH a little bit too. So your parent material will kind of dictate what kind of pH you have. So
Very good.
So a soil test is always important. If you really want it successful, you're really serious about it, you want to have it tested and see what you need to do.
Okay.
On your shrubs, we talked about that earlier. It's too late to do any heavy cutback on your shrubs.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
No.
Just watch the bugs. I noticed a lot of people have had some problems with on their azaleas.
Oh, yes.
Those little bugs that attack them.
Mm-hmm.
Lace bugs.
That's it.
Lace wings on the azaleas. If you see some lace wing damage, you're a little bit late to try to control it. You want to start doing that in May.
Mm-hmm.
And we use a systemic insecticide on that, such as the imidacloprid. It'll do a good job to control your lace wings if you apply it at the appropriate time, and that is, of course, in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
The lace wing is an insect that kind of flies around a little bit, a little white. It's a real small little thing.
Uh-huh.
But the multitudes of them are what causes the problems, and they burrow on the underside of the leaf.
Oh.
And they have this little proboscis that scoops out the palisade mesophyll. If you're into plant anatomy, that's the area between the epidermis and the whatever.
They're getting a bite to eat is what they're getting.
Yeah, they're chowing down on your azalea leaves.
Yeah.
So, and you really don't notice them because they're so small.
Uh-huh.
Now, in early spring, April and May, you run your hand through your azaleas and see all these bugs flying out. Then you've got lace wings.
Ooh.
So about 12 years ago, they got to be a problem here in town, and they're getting almost exponentially worse as years progress.
Mm.
And they can cause a discoloration of the leaf. And at this point in time, the lace wing damage has been done, and I've seen some of the azaleas are actually putting on some new leaves just so they can survive.
Wow. This is
because they can't photosynthesize.
Yeah.
If all the chloroplasts are gone, they can't...
They can't breathe.
They can't produce the... whatever they do with the sugars and things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They can't survive on that.
Mm-hmm.
So we do need to try to control that in May. Mm-hmm. So look at your azaleas real closely. Look for pale leaves that look kind of like just a yucky pea soup green color rather than a real nice dark green color. Then you probably have lace wings.
We got a call here. Let's go for the phones here. And welcome to the Green Country Gardener program. You're on the air with Larry.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a question. My fescue under the trees got attacked pretty harshly by the army worms.
Mm-hmm.
And so two questions. Will I need to reseed that? And B, if so, when is the best time to do that?
Well, actually, starting right now is a good time to reseed. It'll get the seed up and established before it gets really, really cold. Typically, Columbus Day is the last time you want to do it because the air temperature and the soil temperature starts to go down and the metabolism gets real slow in the fescue grass. But anyway, typically mid-September, late September, early October is a real good time to do that. But look very carefully at your fescue grass and see if they really just ate it all up. Chances are, if there's still some stem left and some of the leaf sheath that's still on there, you might consider an accelerated watering program until these guys here at the radio stations can let some of the water go.
Oh, no.
and see if there's some green starting to come out.
There's probably
a pretty good chance that they didn't eat it all, then it'll come back from below. A lot of the new fescue grasses... Anyway, a lot of the new fescue grasses are somewhat stoloniferous, so they do have a pretty good chance of recovering from army worm damage.
Okay, yeah, what's in there now is your five-star, whatever you have in that. So.
Yeah, that has pretty tough fescue in it. So it'll probably recover. But kind of a narrow time frame because of the weather, when the grass really starts to grow again, and when it and knowing it will recover, so you might wait just a couple more weeks just to see how well it does.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you'd like to get on the air and you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make, give us a call at 1-800-749-5936.
I was at a house 2 weeks ago looking at his yard where the army worms had attacked the fescue grass.
Mm-hmm.
Went back there a little while ago, and it started to green up again. Of course, the irrigation system runs, and it waters it and all that, so it's coming back a little bit. So on things like Bermuda grass, it really doesn't hurt it that much because the Bermuda grass will come back. The army worms don't eat the stolons and all that. But on the fescue grass, if you have a real hard fescue or a blend like the Five Star, which has different varieties in it, chances are you're going to get some good survival on that. So jury's out still on whether or not you need to reseed from armory worm damage at this point or not. So.
Very good. All right, tell you what, we have to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program in just a moment after this two-minute timeout.
Peter's True Value in Dewey is having a Labor Day sale, and you can pick up some great bargains. Only the true outdoor grillers use Weber brand grills, and Peter's has their Weber grills on sale, like the Weber Smoky Joe Portable Grill for $37.99. Get the Weber Charbroil Gas Tabletop Grill for $29.99, or the Weber Original Kettle Grill for $99. Save during the Labor Day sale on these and other fine products, but only at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Ooh, crazy is what they think about me. Ain't gonna stop cause they tell me so. Cause 99 miles per hour, baby, is how fast that I'd like to go.
All right, we're back with the Green Country Gardener program right here on K1, the one you trust, and also at KGGF and all of our stations along the network line. And it looks like our phones are busy, busy, busy. So let's go to the phones real quick right now. And hi, you're on the Green Country Gardener program with Larry. Your question, please.
Is that me? I guess it is.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
Are you? You?
I had a question about pre-emergent. When should I put that on? Is it too early?
It might be a little bit too early. Pre-emergence typically lasts about 3 months, and I put it on my yard late September, early October.
Late September, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
thank you.
Now watch the weather forecast. If we're going to have a cool spell coming on, usually we've got this 10-day thing over here at the radio station. You get it too. And if you have a cool down coming on, you want to go ahead and apply before that happens.
Okay.
Because the cooler time and also the shortening of the day length is what stimulates the henbit and the chickweed to start growing.
Okay.
So,
well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All righty. And we have another call on line 11. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on with the Green Country Gardener.
Good morning,
hi,
gentlemen.
Hi.
You were talking about azaleas, and I have a small azalea that's in a flower pot.
Mm-hmm.
That bloomed some when it was supposed to in the spring, early summer, and it's always had small leaves,
right,
and fairly small blooms. But this year, it just all of its leaves turned yellow and they fell off after it bloomed, and it's now beginning to green down close to the surface of the soil.
Right.
Should I? So all of these branches that are up, and they're just about a foot and a half tall.
Mm-hmm.
Should I cut those all back? Because they are not going to come back on those branches.
Yeah, I'd go ahead and cut off any adversely affected branches like that. But you wouldn't anticipate any really new growth until spring on that.
Right. Well, I knew that.
Yeah. And also being in a container, you might consider perhaps putting it in a larger, as it grows, a progressively larger container.
Well, I'd like to put it in the soil, and what is it you say to put it in the soil that you plant yours mostly in a peat moss?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Azaleas like a pH of about 5.5, and a peat moss has that about that same number.
Is there differences in peat moss?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah, it comes from a big old bog up in Canada, and we like it because it's a very long-lasting soil supplement, and it also has a kind of a low pH to it. So you plant your blueberries in it and your other ericaceous plants like azaleas in there.
Oh, that's what you do for blueberries. I did get blueberries one year, uh-huh. And I never tried them again because they couldn't grow on them.
Yeah.
I've heard of people that do here.
So what you do is you take your arms in a circle and touch your hands together. They uh-huh. make kind of a round circle, and that's about how big of a soil preparation you want for your azalea to do well.
Okay. Okay. I think I told my neighbor that. I was thinking that. Mm-hmm. It's been a while. And then I have another question, if we have time.
Yep.
Go ahead.
On the surprise lilies. My surprise lilies, about half of them have came up this year and bloomed somewhat, but some of they always grow about 2 feet
mm-hmm.
tall with their blooms.
Right.
But this year they didn't all get that tall.
Mm.
What has came up, and I've even had some that just has a bloom right down at the graft.
Yeah.
Because it just barely got out of the soil.
There are a couple of factors governing their growth, and one is available nutrients and available water, and insect pests too. So,
okay, and I did notice a little browning on the edges of some of the blossoms before they opened,
right?
To me stunted them. They didn't last as long this year either.
Well, mine didn't bloom at all this year. They decided,
really?
Well, or they haven't done it yet.
Well,
or I've missed it.
Like I said, half of mine hadn't even sprouted to the ground.
Yeah. So and some years, they just simply don't bloom. The resources are not available for it. And this is probably one of those years.
I have quite a few. They were here at this house when I got it. They weren't blooming good when I moved in, but they have been since. I knew not to cut the greenery down, and I have a feeling some of the neighbors had cut the greenery down.
Ah, yeah. Well, cutting the greenery down, this is not a good thing. So.
Yeah, yeah, but I always leave mine until they're on the ground brown. And
mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe I can just get some new soil in around them. And,
maybe we'll have some better weather next year.
And what kind of fertilizer do you use on that kind of?
For those, just a good Dutch bulb fertilizer will work really, really well on them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All right. And our phone line is 1-800-749-5936. And that's how you get in touch with the Green Country Gardener. Larry, we're going to be right back in just a moment. We've got to take a break, and we'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
It's Green Thunder's Green Greenhouse's sizzling summer sale. Take 50% off at the register on roses, herbs, and 4.5 and 4-inch pots of annuals. Take 30% off all perennials, astables, crepe myrtles, hardy ferns, hostas, Japanese maple trees, butterfly bushes, ceramic pots, and fountains. The sales are hot, and you'll you'll save some cool cash during the Green Thumb's sizzling summer sale. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nevada Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house, and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny skyscraper.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
This is Coach Donnie Bostick from Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Freedom Fire 2021 is back. On Saturday, September 18th, Youth on Fire kicks off Freedom Fire at 1 p.m.
Hey, it's Jonathan Traylor, and I'm so excited to be a part of Freedom Fire 2021. Listen, the enemy has been trying to plague our hearts and our minds with fear these days, and it's time to call on the fire of God to defeat both fear and all the weapons that are associated with that lie. So come get free from depression, anxiety, pornography, drugs, all addictions, anything that may be trying to keep you from the true freedom that God has for you. So Saturday, September 18th, we will be at Unity Square Amphitheater in downtown.
We have a powerful lineup of Christian artists beginning at 4 p.m. on stage.
We're going to worship God with everything, and I believe that God is going to set free. He's going to break chains. He's going to deliver, and more than anything, there's going to be a lot of testimonies that night. So September 18th, be there. Freedom Fire 2021.
Made possible by Patriot Auto Group, Cherokee Nation, and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Let's go.
Good morning. It is 8:46, 77 degrees, and you're listening to the Green Country Gardener program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. Phone lines open at 1-800-749-5936. Thank you, Sully Unit 1. What you got there, Larry?
Hey, in the vegetable garden, it's turnip time.
Turnips!
Yeah, it's time for the annual Bartlesville Turnip Festival. So, what?
No. I was looking on the calendar.
Well, no, there's no such
thing.
Instead of going,
man, I've been here for 3 years. I miss it. Dang, yeah, gum.
Turnip greens actually very good for you.
They
you
are. Color? They are. Very good. Yeah, let's go for the call here real quick. Save me. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. Your call. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, good morning.
I need to. Are you there?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Can I cut my daylilies off?
Yes.
These are those great big ones. They get about 3 feet tall.
The seed heads, yeah, you cut them off.
Okay. And then the peonies, some of them are still kind of green.
Yeah, I'm going to cut mine all down. They're just ugly. And they're not. The leaves are not productive at this point. So, but it really wouldn't hurt them if you accidentally cut them off. I mean, they'll be just fine.
Okay. Then I have two crepe myrtles. One's old, probably 100 years old, and the other one's a young one. But I thought they were all dead, but some has come out.
Uh-huh.
But them old stems that are dead, I can't cut them with the pruners.
Yeah, you want to probably get out the Sawzall.
Yeah, that's what I did.
That's what I had to do to mine.
That's what I did, too.
That our crepe myrtle stem is really kind of hard to cut.
Yeah. Oh, well, these are awful. They're more like a tree.
Yeah.
Okay, then I have a zini bed.
Uh-huh.
And the butterflies and the hummingbirds like it. Well, they have just started dying, just like they've been scalded.
Yeah, zinnias are... Zinnias kind of
fungus or something?
Yeah, they get a powdery mildew pretty bad.
So okay. What should I have done with them? They're about all dead now.
We in the spring, we do have some mildew-resistant varieties at the nursery. That'll do pretty well. And for the butterflies, you might consider planting lantana. They really, really like that lantana.
Okay. Well, I never dreamed they would like zinnias, them and the hummingbirds, but they both like them.
Yeah. And also salvia, not salvia, but coleus. I have some coleus in some pots on my patio, and I let them go to seed, and the hummingbirds and the butterflies are all around it, and they like it, too. So.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. So I missed the turnip festival, huh?
Yeah, it's not here yet.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Good. I didn't even have my ticket.
Usually after a good hard freeze, it's time to kind of pull up those turnips. Get out that ranch dressing. Mm, boy.
Yes, I
might have been it. So anyway, we also need to prepare the soil for fall coal crops.
Got it.
So. Cabbage and whatnot. So, not better than cabbage out of the garden.
I know.
So, it's good stuff. So,
really fresh tasting.
Getting time to do that, too. So, you can still get maybe a crop of beans in before we for Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. I mean, for Halloween. Mm-hmm. So, if you want some green beans, it might be a little tough. So, the tomatoes, they're doing pretty well. I'm still getting tomatoes on. Mm-hmm. I've got the three little old nursery cans that I put tomatoes in. And, of course, they're drip watered, so I haven't even had to touch them all summer long.
Good,
I didn't water them or nothing. And they're doing fine. We get some tomatoes trickling in. Our yard is primarily shade in the back, so we don't have that much an area for them. And they do pretty well. What the ants don't eat, we usually get some of the scraps left over. So. So anyway, get that ground all churned up and ready for the fall garden. It's getting time for that, too. So I noticed on the crepe myrtles this year, I don't see a whole lot of the scale insect. Last year and the year before, we've had just absolutely terrible infestations of scale on the crepe myrtles. And I haven't seen a whole lot of it this year. I imagine the cold weather had a lot to do with that, mm-hmm. sort of killed them off and everything else. But do be aware of that and look at it pretty closely. And if you do have some scale on your crepe myrtles, you can put down some oil spray or imidacloprid to work well for them also. And that'll keep them under control so you don't have that problem again next year. Okay?
There you go.
So roses, I cut my knockouts back about a month ago, and they're leafing out. And I'm going to have a good show of some of the knockout roses this fall. They sort of like the cooler weather, and when it gets hot, the roses don't do a whole lot, but even the knockouts. So I always cut mine back in August, July and August, in that time period, and then let them come back real nice and fresh. And that way, in the spring, you don't have to cut all the blooms off to cut them back. They've already been cut back. So they put on a really good show.
There you go.
So we're at kind of the tail end of cutting back the roses mm-hmm. for the fall, too. So.
I don't do those knockouts till right around Thanksgiving, you told me.
Right. And another thing people are bringing in is the nursery have a lot of oak leaves.
Oak leaves?
Mm-hmm. Or oak stems that have been cut and fallen to the ground. And that's from twig girdlers.
Twiggies.
Remember that? We talked about that last year.
Yeah, we did.
Twig girdlers.
Yeah.
And probably the best way to control them is to just keep them up off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning when you get the paper or get the mail or something, pick up all the twig girdler remains before the little critter has a chance to migrate out of the stem into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do have a real bad problem, usually they don't hurt the trees. If anything, they prune them up, make them grow more dense. But anyway, there's usually not that big of a problem.
Yeah.
If you do have a real bad infestation of twig girdlers, mm-hmm. you might want to do maybe some insecticide applications.
Got it.
Before midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Golly, landscaping. A lot of people in the fall, they're considering getting some landscaping done, getting a lot of requests in.
Mm-hmm.
Got some drawings on the drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to call and get somebody out to look at it. And you want a nice scale drawing showing the plants and all that, so you can come by and kind of walk through it.
Mm-hmm.
I see people bringing in the plants, and they look at this plant, and they go look at it, and they find it. Hey, that looks pretty nice, and so on. So you might want to go ahead and have that done. that give you all winter long to think about it and spring to do it, or you can do it anytime. But I kind of like the landscape in early fall, not really late fall, but then after Valentine's Day is a good time to do some landscaping in the yard. Typically, it's not going to get cold then. But some species of plants can get damaged by the cold when they're new like that, specifically the dwarf nandinas and the other nandina. They tend to defoliate real quite a bit when it gets really cold. Their recovery is a little slow in the spring, but they come back. But it's just an appearance thing. You put all that money into landscape and what? Dead plants, you know, but they come back. So that's why I kind of like to do some things in the spring and some things in the fall.
Oh, spread it out, man.
So right now you got all winter long to get some plans in and do some planning stages and compare notes maybe with different designers and get an idea for what you might want.
And, of course, you can kind of help on that, too. You got some handy-dandy equipment makes that nice.
We have
nice
a way to render it to where you can actually see what it does look like. So that's kind of fun.
It is. Tell you what, we've got to take a break here. This time it's a 3-minute timeout.
Frank Phillips, the old man with barbed wire nerves and the courage of a wolf, didn't realize his own capacity to love until after the death of his dear wife Jane in 1948. He no longer heard her laughter in the mansion in town, nor enjoyed the long drives out to his beloved Willa Rock, where they would often go to share an evening dinner. After her death, he found himself waking to the cold reality of her absence and confided to others that his soul ached. More and more of Frank's time was being spent at the ranch, sitting on the front porch of the lodge and enjoying the magnificent view and likely reflecting back on an incredible life of personal and professional accomplishments. However, without his wife in the chair next to him, these simple joys became shallow to Uncle Frank. After her death, those around Frank soon discovered that he had one desire, and that was to build a mausoleum at Willa Rock to serve as a final resting place for Jane and himself. He had picked out the spot years before, a favorite spot that overlooked one of the beautiful lakes that dotted the grounds of the ranch. Inspired by the memorial built for his good friend Will Rogers in Claremore, the mausoleum soon became the primary focus of Frank's life. Once construction started on the mausoleum in 1949, he personally came out every day to see how work was progressing. Frank wanted it within walking distance of the lodge, yet not directly in the public eye, which is why he chose the site above Elk Lake, one of his favorite fishing holes at Willa Rock. Built of native stone with no cut edges, the tomb appeared to spring from the side of the hill as if it was part of the terrain. Workmen blasted through 18 feet of solid rock to form the burial chamber, and the 24-square-foot room was lined with a 12-inch steel-reinforced concrete wall. The chamber was air-conditioned, and a telephone was installed. Inside the mausoleum is a circular rotunda outlined by 8 columns of St. Cecilia marble imported from Italy, which rises 10 feet to a dome. The walls are covered with thousands of mosaic tiles, and in the center of the room is an 8-pointed star formed by the different shades of marble. Construction took about a year, and as soon as it was completed, Frank had Jane's casket brought from White Rose Cemetery, and a memorial service was held at the new mausoleum. To his friends and staff, Mr. Phillips seemed happier than at any time in recent years. His final work was completed, and he could return to the porch of the lodge, which he did until his death on August 23, 1950. The magic of Willa Rock is a story worth sharing, and it can be found everywhere at this national treasure. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willa Rock.
Listen to K1 anywhere and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Well, we got about 2.5 minutes left. It is the Green Country Gardener Program with our expert Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis, and if you want to try to squeeze a phone call in, good luck. 1-800-749-5936. What you got there, Larry? What's going on?
Anyway, at the nursery, golly, we've got all kinds of new stuff in, some new shrubs. Mm-hmm. We have some of the sunshine ligustrums, which are they have a real beautiful yellow leaf on them. They look almost like a forsythia in bloom. We have some of those. And some kaleidoscope abelias and tons of dwarf nandinas. We finally found some dwarf nandinas that really look decent. So we got some of those in, too. And you really can't beat the winter color on those. If it doesn't get too awful cold, they have a real nice red color on them and in the winter. So we got to consider, we really have to consider the fourth dimension when we do landscaping. There's got to be some interest pretty much all year round. Some people who do, I just want an all perennial composition. Well, that's fine, but in the wintertime,
it looks like the Addams Family.
Looks like that's Herman Munster's house or something. Yeah, so you want to think all four seasons when you do a landscape plan and all that, and we have a good selection of tropical plants too.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these highfalutin ones too that you might want to come look at.
Hey, so, man.
Yeah, we got some of those. So
Jimmy Buffett in the garden.
That's right. So we got a good selection of tropicals at the nursery too. Grass seed and the right pre-emergence. You don't have aisle after aisle after aisle of different chemicals to make it confusing. We're smart enough to know what will work here for what you need.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
Yeah, you know.
You don't have to go searching too far.
Yeah, make the selection a little easier too. Yeah. So
keep it on line of thought.
Exactly, and then we had the topsoil bulk. I really like the bulk cedar mulch we have. It makes a really nice appearance in the landscape. And golly, when you do that landscape, be sure to keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
Indeed, we will. Have a great weekend, everybody.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority.
This is KWON Bartle.